The Public News Service Daily Newscast for August the 14th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. We head first to Ohio, a state that is becoming a focal point in the fight against climate change, thanks in part to its industrial might and a growing interest in carbon capture technology.
As the state looks to balance its economic needs with environmental responsibility, carbon capture utilization and storage, or CCUS, is emerging as a critical tool. Critics of carbon capture voice concerns that it could prolong the use of fossil fuels. But Simone Stewart, a climate specialist for the National Wildlife Federation, says in industrial states like Ohio, the technology will be important to curb the effects of carbon emissions.
There's a big industrial component to their economies, but at the same time, we want to act on climate action and address the climate crisis so we can't continue to emit CO2. So this allows us an alternative pathway.
Ohio's heavy industries, especially in manufacturing and raw materials, are both a strength and a challenge. Stewart says these sectors are hard to decarbonize due to the emissions generated in the production processes. However, CCUS provides a way to reduce the environmental impact while maintaining industrial productivity. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
And Tropical Storm Ernesto battered the Northeast Caribbean on Tuesday as it took aim at Puerto Rico, where officials closed schools, opened shelters, and moved dozens of the U.S. territory's endangered parrots into hurricane-proof rooms. That from CNN. They report Ernesto expected to become a hurricane as the center of the storm moves just northeast of Puerto Rico on a path towards Bermuda. Forecasters issued a hurricane watch for the U.S. and British Virgin Islands, as well as tiny Puerto Rican islands popular with tourists. Tropical storm warnings in place for Puerto Rico, St. Kitts, Nevis, Anguilla, St. Martin, and St. Barts. Meantime, in a debate in the race for Indiana's next lieutenant governor, the candidates clashed over the future of the state. Our Joe Ulrey explains.
Republican Micah Beckwith, who grew up on his family's dairy farm, emphasized agriculture's critical role in Indiana's economy, unveiling what he calls the Braun Beckwith Initiative, aimed at reducing government restrictions on farming. He argues that food security is national security and stresses the need for minimal government interference to help farmers succeed.
It is so important that Indiana begins to be that number one breadbasket for the state, or for the nation, and for the world.
Democrat Terry Gooden focused on education and rural development, calling for reforms to ensure students graduate prepared for the workforce, military service, or higher education. Libertarian Tanya Hudson championed smaller government and lower taxes.
Each candidate presented a distinct vision for Indiana, setting the stage for a heated election as they vie for the position of lieutenant governor. This is Public News Service. Some federal incentives to bring internet access to Indian country neglected to require tribal participation. That's according to a new report.
The Federal Communications Commission's 2020 Rural Digital Opportunity Fund awarded over $9 billion to cable and satellite operators, phone companies, and others to deploy broadband in areas lacking it. A new report from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance shows that program included no requirement for tribal consent or engagement before companies placed bids. Author Jessica Auer says that left some tribes, especially those with their own broadband projects, in what she calls a bureaucratic boondoggle that led to tension and confusion.
They're required to spend resources and staff time trying to contest these awards, confronted by outside providers who feel that they have a mandate and a right to build on sovereign tribal lands.
Auer says not including tribal nations at the table is, in many cases, considered a violation of tribal sovereignty. According to a 2022 study, households in tribal areas are about 24% less likely to have access to broadband internet than others. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Meantime, the fight against the effects of climate change in Illinois now has more help.
The Climate Pollution Reduction Grant will also accelerate clean energy and promote workforce training. Illinois Environmental Council Engagement Manager Angela Hsu says the grant is another step forward in Illinois' clean energy progress.
We have really seen significant progress on our climate and equity goals due to the passage of the Climate and Equal Jobs Act, or CEJA, in 2021. We're seeing a lot of possible federal funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. It helps us double down on that great progress that we're seeing and secure more equitable affordable and healthy future for all Illinoisans.
Hsu says the CPRG supports projects like building and industry, decarbonization, freight, electrification, climate smart agriculture, and renewable energy. A total of $4 billion in federal funds was distributed to 25 state, local, and tribal entities. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Finally, Ross Brown lets us know that researchers in the Meadows Center for Water and Environment at Texas State University are studying ways to determine levels of fecal contamination on Texas beaches.
Exposure to fecal matter can cause nausea, diarrhea, ear infections, and rashes. A 2022 study showed 55 beaches across the state were potentially unsafe for swimming on at least one testing day a year. Lute Metzger with Environment Texas says researchers will develop a pilot program that will monitor bacteria levels.
Their grant is to help use artificial intelligence to create an early warning system.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.